Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, Clint. Yesterday was Ohio State's pro day, and they had some guys, obviously. The big one was C.J. Stroud. All of the Panthers were out there. They were 14 deep, including their head coach, including their general manager. Their quarterback coach was out there. I'm going to assume OTB Thomas Brown was probably there, too. Their
he was on the list. I saw the list. He was definitely on it. Yes, sir.
They're at Ohio State. Alabama's pro day, that includes Bryce Young, obviously Will Anderson as well. They were all also there as well, see him photographed with them and everything, had him out to dinner last night. Yesterday at Ohio State's Pro Day, the Texans are taking a different approach. They had, they've had three scouts out there yesterday at Ohio State's, and they also have three scouts out there at Alabama. None of the top guys with the Texans were out there today. I think to me, Clint, that is really, really odd to me. And listen, anybody can look at it how you want to, not a big deal, not a big whatever it is or what. It is just odd to me that you're drafting one of these guys and that you're not having any of your top guys in the organization, especially the top guys that are going to be working with him, not out there at all. And it is such a difference, such a contrast to what the Panthers are doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've said this before. There's definitely two lines of thinking. And if I had it my way, if I were doing it, I'd have 14 guys there before I'd have three. I'd have all my decision makers there before I would have none.
I'd be cool with three if it was Nick, D'Amico, and Bobby Slowick.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Okay. Any combination you want to make, give me a higher number or give me the low number with the decision makers. And no disrespect to Lifford and all his guys out there, man. Look, they do a hell of a job. They're one of the best scouting departments in the game, according to what everybody says over there. And I get it. They're doing their job. It has nothing to do with them or their inability to evaluate anything. Nothing whatsoever. Is that what I'm trying to say? I just look at it as I believe that you got the one frame of mind is we're going to recruit this kid. We're going to take 14 people. We're going to take the guy writing the check. We're going to take the guy calling the plays. We're going to take the guy that's coaching you on a daily basis. We're going to take the guy that's generating the game plan, and everybody in between. Right? We're going to meet mama. We're going to sit down and talk to you. We're going to take you to dinner. Probably mom and daddy there too. Maybe even more of the family there, and we're gonna get a real feel in your stomping grounds in Columbus or in Tuscaloosa, where you, your family, where you eat, everybody knows you. We're gonna get a real feel for you. I would want as many people that I trust their opinions. Anybody that I'm gonna walk up and go, hey man, tell me what you think about this kid. Tell me what you think about this player. Tell me what you think about this play or this offense or this or that. Anybody that I place value on their opinion, I want them at this pro day. And so for me, I understand there's different lines of thought, different ways of skinning a cat, so to speak. But I don't understand. I don't understand the big time. None of the top four, and I'm going to say five because Cal's the one writing the damn check. Cal's the one over there that's got to get this thing right. Cal's the one that's going to be left holding the bag if they don't get the right, find the right quarterback, period. Cal's going to be the one that's going to have to make a decision on a general manager in 2-3 years if they don't get the right guy. Cal's the one that's going to have to make a decision with the head coach if they can't get into the playoffs in 3 years from now. Like, that's – so I'm going to say top five. I'm not going to leave Cal off of that list. I don't understand how those five individuals, you named them, owner, general manager, head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback coach. Now, I know that all those guys aren't deciding who gets on the private jet and when that private jet gets fueled up. I get that. But I don't understand how none of those five are at these pro days soaking it in.
For those, you're very fair to believe. All right, you're overreacting to this. I would just throw this out. Just say it out loud. I mean, what is going to be the most important decision that this organization is going to make that leads them over the next 5-10 years? It's this one. It is the quarterback. It is this one, bigger than anything else. The decision that all of these guys are going to make is the quarterback right now. Because this is it. This is it. This is the biggest one. And, like, you're not given every chance and opportunity that you have to go see about the most important decision that you're going to make with the franchise. Like, if that is us overreacting, fine, we just think about it differently. But to me, like, Nick, if you don't get the quarterback, if you don't get this quarterback thing right, like, Nick's not going to have a job here. Like, with the Texans, he's not going to be a general manager anymore. And I just say, to me, if I'm them, this is the most important decision we're going to make. Jack, I'm out there. I'm out there. I'm not at SMU. I'm out here with my own eyes talking to them. As you said, what, the Raiders taking them out to dinner.
Seattle Seahawks, Raiders, Panthers.
I'm out here. Both of them. Whatever. One of these two kids. Like, I want the most important decision we got to make. I'm not going to, like, some people Joe. Say, oh, maybe he's doing something else, or maybe he already knows. Only people who've seen him since the season ended was D'Amico and Nick at the combine.
Joe. You got to pick your wife April 27th. You got to pick your wife April 27th. You got an opportunity to go on four dates. You going to take four or you going to take two?
I need eight. I need more than four. Now, I'm sure.
That's the point.
I'm sure there's some people out here who proposed after a month.
That's fine.
I ain't me.
That's fine.
Like Chris is doing.
Yeah, look, Chris. No, nah, hey, Chris. She's vetted. She's vetted. No question.
Still getting vetted.
Yeah, no. I mean, even if after two dates you're in love and you know this is the one, you still might want to go on that third and four just to confirm. Hell, you might want to go
meet
on
her parents. Don't you?
You might want to go on three and four just have you a good time.
You want to meet her parents?
You might want to go on three and four just sample something you ain't sampled yet. You know what I mean? Know what you're getting into. I mean, April 27th. I just need two, boss. Nah, baby. You go out with your friends this weekend. You go out with your friends this weekend. In fact, just go out there and troll all over Columbus and Tuscaloosa. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
I just don't. I mean, I'm just not one to play jokes and games with the most important decision I got to make.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, I ain't gonna be here. All right, no, I'm gonna be. I like you. I'm looking at you. I want you to see that I'm looking at you. That I'm here, and I'm gonna be there every chance I get.
Big 3-3, number 2.
That's a fantastic analogy. All right, Astros and Nationals get going 5 o'clock. And the reason why that's important, Clint, is Yordan Alvarez is back.
He's in that lineup?
He's not only in the lineup.
Come on.
He's leading off, and I think.
Damn, Dusty.
Yeah, leading him off, trying to get as many at-bats as they can for him. I think the big thing, though, is he's not DHing. He's in left field. Like, they're playing him in the outfield.
Dusty said, I know your hand been hurting. I know you ain't been in spring for about a week. We're going to lead you off and put you in left field.
But to me, Clint,
it's great news.
It's great news because it says, hey, we ain't slowing this thing up. We got to get you ready because, hey, we got it. We got 7 days before we need to get you in it. We need you in the outfield. Like, you would think, like, all right, his first game back, we just going to have him DH.
Yeah.
We need you in left field because we got to get you work. So I'm about actions with them because I can't really put a lot of stock into things they say about injuries. But if you're telling me he's leading off and he's playing in left field, that means to me you're trying to ramp him up and get him as many live bullets before the season starts, and you're not nervous about slowing it up.
Well, that tells me you feel pretty good about what you've seen from him over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel that you wouldn't be leading him off and playing him in the field if you were playing cautious at all,
yes,
or concerned at all. And so, look, this is a big day, man. I mean, we missed the opportunity to play a little celebration music. I guess we should probably let the game happen for you.
Let's get to five o'clock.
Let's let one at bat surface, right?
That's right.
Let's let a video surface.
I'm on watch. I need you to be on watch right at 5 o'clock. I'm damn near ready to go live looking right now. It's 5 o'clock fire presented by Reach. Oh, hold on, just one second. We got to head out to the Grapefruit League. Let's head out here to West Palm Beaches. It's Yordan Alvarez in his first at bat. I'm damn near there, but like we said, man, this is needed because of what the potential of the lineup may look like.
Yeah,
going into. By the way, they've got as many regulars in this lineup today. Bregman's in the lineup. Abreu's in the lineup. Pena's in the lineup. Everybody's in it with the exception of Kyle Tucker, who we know had the mild ankle sprain, is what they're saying at the WBC. So we'll see if when he'll be ready to go. Hopefully he'll be ready to go for the start of the season. But they need Yordan in the lineup because we know their first two batters who they want to have in the lineup in Altuve and Brantley are not going to be there to start the season. This is huge for them. I thought for sure, Clint, he'd be in a DH role. I didn't think they were going to put him in the field, which, like you said, man, I think that's a big
step. Yeah, I love it, man. You got to get him, like you said, if you're going to ramp him up, you got to do it defensively and offensively, and so get him out there. I just love it because it screams we don't have a whole hell of a lot of concern with this hand. Now, you may be leading him off so that you can get him three at-bats in a handful of innings instead of it taking an extra inning. You may want to get him in and out of the game, which I totally understand, but it just tells me, hey, man, we are good to go on all fronts with Yordan Alvarez, and that is music to my ears,
this
brother.
This is from Chandler Rome. He's hitting leadoff to get two or three ABs as quickly as possible
there you
and
go.
Get him out of the game. Three ABs. I say one for three.
Oh man, I've been keeping an eye on these Astros. These updates they send us. They email us the updates of what went on in yesterday's game. A little recap of yesterday's game and a little look forward to today's game. And you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. Every time I flip down to those yesterday the recap of yesterday's game. I mean, guys are going 2 for 3, 3 for 4. So I'm gonna go 2 for 3, man. I'm gonna go 2 for 3. I feel pretty good about it.
2 for 3. Fill the two of them. That's what Chris said too.
0 for 3.
Oh,
you're going 0 for.
Yeah, I mean he hasn't played, right?
Yeah, but I mean they might have you out there pitching to him.
This is the best hitter. This is the best hitter on the planet.
Hey,
all right, calm down now, champ.
Calm down. That's the best hitter on the planet.
Big 3 at 3. Number 3.
Yeah, stick that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. Update. Former Dallas Cowboy running back Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed it down to 3 options, according to Adam Schefter. The next team he may play on, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Jets. Zeke, big Zeke for those teams. I'm looking at these three, Clint. Come on, Doug. I mean, all of them, you understand, I think these could be playoff teams, and he could probably help them. The Bengals with Joe Burrow, that seems something. But this has Philadelphia Eagles written all over it. I mean, Philadelphia Eagles written all over it. They brought in a kid from Seattle to replace
Penny.
Yeah, they brought in Penny to replace Miles Sanders because they let him go. You get a nice little 1-2 punch with Penny right there. This makes too much sense, and then to go stick it to Dallas. You know he wants to.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that. I agree with you harder that the Philadelphia Eagles will be the best fit. However, I don't think he has any. I don't think he has any ill will towards the Cowboys. And I think Zeke. Look, there ain't no reason for me to think Zeke's going to change now. I think Zeke wants to buy that Big Apple.
Ooh, you think he wants to go to New York?
I think Zeke really enjoys that even though Cincinnati and his old stomping grounds of Ohio State stomping grounds with Joe Burrow.
He don't want to be in no damn Cincinnati.
Boy, I tell you what, though.
I mean, with Joe, like the Joe.
You talk about King Dingling and the Natty.
Yeah, I mean.
And I ain't talking about the championship.
Yeah, I mean, like Joe had to do some real work on him and some real money. I think he likes to stay out in that East. Them big cities. You talk about Philly, another big city too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the New York Jets.
Think the Jets, him and Rodgers.
I agree with you. The Phillies are probably the better fit. Boy, that'd be nasty. Just add to a power run game. Good God.
Yeah, like yeah, him with Jalen. Like if he's like to him the fit, like him Jalen back there, short yardage. Like God, what do you do with that? Short yardage. Like Zeke has lost a step or two and a half, but he could sure take that ball. I mean, short yardage with him, Jalen. Who you gonna give it to? Like, yeah, that's. I mean, yeah. He'd probably get a couple more years out of himself there. But yeah, I don't know. Jets. Well, that's just too much damn drama right there.
Hey, that's like, what yeah. Zeke. That's right up Zeke's alley, though. Drama.
Like, that's what I'm saying, man. That's another one, man. Like you said, man. New York, man. We had gotten over some of this off the field stuff with Zeke the last couple of years. I just think that's inviting potential trouble for him. Take your man. You know what? Maybe he need to take his ass to Cincinnati.
Nah, if Zeke ain't learned yet, he ain't going to.
Let me calm down because Urban Meyer found trouble in Cincinnati. So I guess you can't find.
Hey, at Natty, baby.
Yeah, as you said, it's undefeated.
Untied and undefeated.
Untied, undefeated. Oh, hey, somebody's coming to our side. People are coming to our side.
Well, What's that?
Somebody said, you know what? First, I thought Clint was crazy. But now I'm starting to agree with him. That's what I've seen that a couple of times on the text line. We might have to look at that. That's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, coming in from the text line. Welcome back into the drive. Hey, drive family. Love hearing from you. Welcome back into the drive. Somebody texted and said, I got to admit, first I thought you guys were overreacting, but now I agree. Nick and D'Amico should be at these QB pro days. And then next right up, you do understand. They are going to visit the Texans as a part of the allotted 30 visits. By draftees, they will get a one-on-one, and they talked to them in person at the combine. Why do you keep beating this little drum?
The dead horse?
They said little drum. Is what they said.
Well, that little drum finish didn't match the tone of Show's voice.
Well, they said little drum, so I felt like I had to bring it down.
I don't know.
Beating this little drum!
Show, I just don't know. I don't know how. It was the word little, not your tone, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Like, how can. Like, it's clearly not. Like these, like there's, it's not about, it's about minimizing it. That's my problem is the minimizing the importance or the need to be there and falling on that end of the spectrum and choosing to be one of the teams that sends three scouts and zero decision makers. One of the handful of teams that do that. I'm sure the Texans aren't the only one. I saw the list of teams. There was teams with six people there. There was teams, but you look at it and you go, okay, I just can't minimize it. Like, and then you watch the teams that are quarterback needy with very successful head coaches, some with successful quarterbacks that have been successful quarterbacks, not just one but multiple, and they're all there. Like, they're all there. They get the same 30 visits. They got the same opportunity to go to the combine, and they're all there. I'm sorry if somebody thinks that I'm overreacting because I understand and I like the train of thought of the squad with 14 reps there and taking advantage of every opportunity more so than the ones that are sending the literally as few assets as you can, resources as you can, to the two biggest pro days in college football. Sorry. I don't think it's an overreaction.
No, I don't either. Yeah.
I read it on somebody, one of the reporters that I follow on social media reported it. They said they were talking about like organizations and really head coaches that go to every pro day, literally said every pro day. You know what coaches were on that list? Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick.
David Culley.
No. What's the old fella in Seattle I just mentioned?
Pete Carroll.
Who was the other? There's one more. But they're all guys that are like, I mean.
Successful.
Very, very, very successful. And so it's like, I just have a really hard time being and wrapping my head around the group of teams, and it's not just the Texans. I have a very difficult time wrapping my head around, like doing as like minimizing any opportunity to any degree, when those dudes don't miss a pro day, when other quarterback needy teams are showing up, shaking hands, holding babies, going to dinner, talking about playing horse. And we're in Dallas. You know, the way I'm wired, I'm more towards the way Carolina's doing things.
And this person says another thing that is also true. It's really big for the quarterback to be, because this is the guy that I think a lot of their jobs is going to be dependent on. But the pro day just isn't for quarterback. We have other needs too. They should be looking at all the talent there. And yes, like,
yep,
they should be. And and the part is, there are reports that the general manager, Nick Caserio, is at pro days, just not those. Like, that just.
Speaking of.
I can't get that.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw the report that he was at the U of H, that Nick Caserio was at the U of H pro day. I hope he's looking at Tank Dale. I like him, and I'd like to see him in Bobby Slowick's offense.
I like that. But who's the guy that was at Ohio State and for the Texans, representing the Texans at Ohio?
James Lipford?
Yeah, James Lipford. I'd like James Lipford to be looking at him.
Fair.
What would you rather have? Like the Nick We Trust crew. Would you rather have Nick sitting down, taking a look at Bryce, CJ, or Tank Dale?
Was that a question for me?
I'm just throwing out. I don't think you're on the fighting. Nick's got it under control. That's the part that gets me, Clint. I'm sorry. That's the part that gets me is I can't believe. Like, I know it's just a select few of people that is tuning in, or I mean that is texting in. But the thought of what this organization has been through in the last several years, and the same cats under the leadership, and it's just like.
Oh, we got it.
Like, no, he's got it under control. I'm not saying Nick don't. He may. I'm just surprised that many of you are like, hey,
yeah.
I've seen his work. Bam. Let's run through the wall behind him. Like this one. That one's odd to me. All right, Clint, by the way, real quick. We talked about Zeke letting it come down to him. This right here, boy. Whenever the Texans in the next couple of years with this cap thing, that's why I can't wait to see what they can potentially do. It says the Cardinals, we've heard DeAndre Hopkins, former Texan, is potentially on the move. It said the trade market, it's headlined by him potentially going to the Buffalo Bills. Says financial expectations might impact any further interest for teams like the Chiefs and the Ravens. How the hell is Buffalo going to be able to afford him?
Boy, that's...
this salary cap, how you can move money around. They got Stephon Diggs to a huge deal. They signed Von Miller to a huge deal. I know he moved some money around. And now Josh has got to be kicking in on his money. I mean, he signed his deal 2 years ago. Josh has got to be making big money now. And they're going to be able to take on DeAndre Hopkins. By the way, that receiving core of DeAndre Hopkins, Gabe Davis, and Stephon Diggs is.
They still got Dawson Knox out there? They still got the tight end Dawson Knox?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm an embarrassment of riches.
Like, to be able to handle that money, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, the Texans going to have a rookie quarterback. Like, they should be able to bring, if they can handle Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, and Stephon Diggs while paying Josh Allen, I can't wait to see what the Texans going to be able to do.
I'll be honest with you. I don't see Nick making these kind of moves. I've heard Nick a lot, and maybe this is a separate segment, but Nick has talked a lot about sustainability. Like, I don't know that flirting with the Rams' way of doing things is sustainable. I don't know that going out there and look, I don't know how the Bills' salary cap is set up relative to their roster. It just seems like, to your point, like how, and you get into the territory where folks are being like, damn, how the hell are you affording that?
That's what,
like,
I'm saying. How are you making that puzzle work?
You got to believe that they're going to make it work for now, but at some point it's going to bite them. And Nick just seems like a guy, and look, let's be honest, where he comes from, they've done it as well as anybody, of staying at the top longer. And I don't know, I don't see Nick being a guy that overextends consistently.
Yeah.
I mean, the Von Miller move last year, now DeAndre Hopkins possibly, and we're just speculating here, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Yeah,
there's reports that's kind of the lead. They're leading in the charge.
Right? As fun as that would be, I don't know that Nick is ever going to be that guy. Of, hey, we're a player away. Let's go sign this.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. I mean, and if you look at the New England days, did Bill do it once with Randy?
And he probably didn't have to pay him top dollar. I think who's the corner just went in the Hall of Fame.
Revis.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's a couple of defensive backs that he did it with.
Yeah, yeah. He played Gilmore.
Yeah.
I hope Nick would do that. Maybe Nick may not do it if, let's say, they draft Bryce Young and Bryce becomes that dude, and in 4 years you're signing Bryce to a long-term deal.
Right.
And you're already paying him. I would hope that Nick would be in the thought of, all right, we got something here. We got him on a rookie deal. Let's go in here and bring in some guys, some big money guys in here. I'm just saying, if they can somehow make that work, I'm just like, good God Almighty! Like, the Texans they ain't gonna be paying no quarterback for at least 3-4 years. Like, they should be able to put together something. This salary, I've said it before, that thing ain't real. That thing could just be moved around. Like, and just changed around. How the hell are they going to fit all that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I get the point of it. I think it's leaned on as a crutch way too often a lot of the time, especially around here. But I do believe that, boy, you get careless with that thing, it can sure enough bite you.
Yeah.
It can get real, real quick.
Yeah. All right, something that happened yesterday that I just think the NFL needs to change. We'll discuss that coming up.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I feel like I was being, I don't think I was a jerk. But
anytime you start a conversation like that, you probably were.
I don't think I was. I did a couple of trips during that break. I went to the restroom.
One or two?
Just one, man. Okay. I need a little bit more time. This is at the end of the hour break for me to go ahead and do that. But this is one. Then I took the trip to get the water. There's one cold water water jug, and I took it around there. And then I walked myself back here, and I ran into the same person three times.
Three times?
And they spoke all three times. And the last time, I had no intention. I saw him, you know, this hallway's long. I saw him, Nick. And, hey, we meet again. So the first time, called him towards the bathroom. It's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Bathroom. Then I come around, and they're in there. And I think they're heating up something. I said, and for me, I'm like, we just spoke. And I'm just thinking to myself, I just hit him with that, you know, head tilt.
Okay. Right?
And went in, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And I don't know, somehow I came back around. We meet again. Like, I had no, like, I was just going to keep walking is what I was going to do. I mean, this is, we're not like, I don't think we've got to have three. Like, that happens sometimes. You run into the same person, you just have to be walking. I don't think you have to keep saying hello.
I mean, I don't know if then pull your phone out and act like you're on the phone or something.
It just happened so quick. Like, and then, so I just,
clearly
I just came,
you don't care too much for this individual.
No, I don't have a problem with it. Nice person. I just came my head down. Like, I was like, we ain't about to say hi three times.
Well, on the third time, say, damn, what you doing? Follow me around? You spying on me or something?
I should have got a joke in that way. He got one in. Cause I just went head down.
Who was it?
I just went head down. I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
I just went head down. Hey, meet again. Like, he was thrilled about it. Like, oh, he's going to say something every
time.
How'd
you respond to meet again?
I said, yep.
What, man, what a jerk, man.
Is it? Like,
what a jerk you are.
I wasn't going to say a word. I think that is three times see each other etiquette. Is the third time
I don't look. Here's the deal.
I'll be honest with you. I would have prepared to walk right through him the second time.
There's no etiquette for in the office of running into someone three times in a 3-minute span. Like, one, that very rarely happens, if ever. Two, I mean,
you'd have jumped into the hello every time.
I'd have immediately been like, I may not have spoke the first time, depending on how that exchanged.
Okay, you'd have spoken.
But definitely the third time, I would have acknowledged, like, damn, you spying on me or something? Boss got you spying on me? What's going on around here? Just trying to take a leak, man. Trying to get some cold water.
I'm just saying, like, dog, come on, man. Like, we ain't got it. Like, when I said, all right, we ain't got to do this again. We ain't got to do this again. And
well, the fact you even think he was like, the fact that you thought like that, I'm trying to figure out who it would be.
You wouldn't. Chris, you went, Chris, come on.
Chris don't speak to nobody, no way.
Are you speaking a third time?
Oh, no.
Just keep on going, right?
That's why I keep my phone on my hand.
I should have just had the phone out.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. I saw him coming. I said, damn.
Look,
that's
be
exactly
honest
what
with you.
I
you
said
see, Chris, every time Chris cracks that mic right there, there's a little bit of crack in the voice. Like, he still ain't real comfortable just letting it rip, right? And you'll get there, bub.
Yeah. But,
so I understand you'll where he would look at his phone or maybe not speak or something. I mean, hell, you volume 10 over there for 4 hours a day. Hell, like, you not speaking is a whole different deal.
I just, all right, we see each other. Like, I'm just thinking, like, we're on the same page. All right, man, we got this. Just head down. My man's, hey!
Juice, man. Bringing the energy to the office, man. It's good stuff.
I was almost like that one guy who used to work here. Who used to be real fired up every time we saw him.
Oh, James.
Jim.
Good dude, man. Hope he's doing well.
Someone texted, show you're not a jerk for this one.
I mean, how you handle the third pass by in 3 minutes? I think that'll define the level of just level of jerkness, yeah.
Just ain't doing it.
It's like you're annoyed because you ran to somebody the third time.
Well, I'm annoyed that they felt they had to say something again. I got a lot of this.
You know who it was, Chris?
They were annoyed they had to say something.
No idea.
I'll tell you off air. Just saying. I'll tell you off air.
You ain't
just
got the name.
I think I do. Yeah, I got the name. Yeah, I got his name. I do generally say, hey, what's up, boss? But I think I got the name.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I got it. But I'm just like, someone texting, Clint is the realest MF-er I've ever heard. Yeah, okay.
I mean, that text line's getting, it's coming around, ain't it, bub? I mean, it's coming around. You're getting
It's coming around to you.
We must got a new crop of texters or something in there. Because I was in about a 3-year run of, boy, that thing would drive, I'd give it 5 minutes, that thing drive me nuts.
Honestly, for my etiquette, I'm one and out.
You're one what?
I generally am one and out. I see you in a quick space. If we walk through and I saw you, say, "What's up, Clint?" We walk through again in a short period of time. I'm just gonna keep going. Maybe check a smile. We ain't gonna just keep doing that every time we see each other. Every time we walk past each other. Hey, what's good? Hey, how's the family this time?
Well, I mean, look.
How was your weekend?
Shows your true colors, bub.
It is my true colors.
Let me tell you, on that second or third pass by, you need something. You sure enough going to stop, ain't you? You're going to speak. You're going to smile. You're going to tap him on the shoulder. You're going to be glad to see him. Boy, if by all means, boy, if you got to say
that's
hi.
Good. That's
if you got to say hi one extra time, damn.
No, I'm out, man. Like that's a good one here from the text line. That's like the bless you etiquette show. Would you have said bless you three times? No, you start sneezing three, four times, man. I'm out. I got two, maybe three bless yous in me.
I'm number one, and number one, you're getting a bless you.
I'll get the first one.
And then I'm going to let you go and get through the last one before I give you. I mean, that's usually my rule of thumb on the sneezes. Like if
might be, you good?
You give me one good one, I'm going to give you a bless you. And if you go back to back, I'm going to make sure you're through. If you give me three or four, I'm just going to let you roll on out. And at some point, probably be like, damn.
You good?
Bless your head. Bless you.
You been pulling nose hairs out? Oh, man. All right. Hey, yesterday at the Ohio State Pro Day, apparently C.J. Stroud was there and all that. But Marvin Harrison Jr., Clint, showed out. He was the one that showed out.
Yeah.
But he got to take his ass back to school next year. I look at this like Marvin Harrison. And everybody has said it, Clint. Like, there's not a top. I don't know. And maybe with what Smith and Jigba ran at the pro day, I don't think there's going to be a top 10 wide receiver. At least no one has been predicting that, or it's been trending towards that. We'll see as we get closer to the draft. But Marvin Harrison would most definitely be a top 10, probably top 5 pick in the draft. But he got to go back to school. And he's played, he's been, this rule, you got to be 3 years removed from high school for a guy like that. Like, I think it causes guys like that to just say, hey, man, I'm just going to sit it out. I'm just going to sit this thing out. Because it's him, Caleb Williams, he don't need to go back and play another year at USC. I don't know, you love Drake May. I heard Daniel Jeremiah saying Drake May was a special, special talent. He'd be one or two in this draft if he were in it. I don't know how much they need to go. Like Marvin Harrison, there is nothing else he needs to prove at this level. And he got to stay for 3 years removed from high school. That rule right there, boy. It's like for running backs, especially for running backs, Clint, when we talk about how the life expectancy is for running backs in the NFL, shoot, man. If them dudes is ready to come out at 20, let them fools come out at 20. Because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, look, I think every now and then you get a guy come through, a non-quarterback, because let's be honest, that's just a different animal there. I think the way in which they play the game is there's a different risk level, I think, physically. But I think there's players that come down the pipe every now and then they could come straight out of high school and into the league and physically survive. I tell you, I remember you mentioned Adrian Peterson earlier being a guy that could have been one and done in college football. I played against the Tennessee Volunteers, Peyton Manning's last year, 1997.
Yeah, here's another one. He sure as hell didn't need another.
Bro, Jamal Lewis.
Oh.
That dude.
What year was he then?
He was a freshman.
He could have come on out.
Bro, he looked like he was 24 years old and fresh off of about a 3-year stint in Leavenworth. I ain't kidding you, bro. I'm kidding you. Hey, look, tattoos up and down. I mean, yoked. Looked like he had been somewhere just absolutely. I mean, he didn't look like he was 17 years old, show. I mean, he was a grown-ass man with tattoos all. He come walking down that ramp in Little Rock, Arkansas at War Memorial Stadium. We were walking off the field after our walk through. They were walking on.
I said, who is that?
And I said, well, who is that? They said, that's a freshman. 17, 18 years old. I said, that dude right there he's tatted from his wrist up, both arms, no sleeveless shirts on, and I bet he was 220. I mean, he looked like he was 2 years into the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, but especially that, like Saquon, year two.
Yep.
Like Saquon, he didn't need to go back.
But Saquon looks young.
In the face.
Jamal looked like he'd been.
My man, I
ain't kidding you, bro. I mean, he looked like he'd been had a hard 4 years.
All right, because this is good for you. Because you talked about Jamal and everything like that.
Point is Marvin Harrison is a guy physically that could have been one and done and physically been in the league and had no problem.
He showed out at the thing.
Yes.
He was clearly the best guy.
Yes.
Now, you played there. You played in college. You know the difference of the levels. These are grown-ass men. Do you think they should continue with this rule of 3 years? You think that should be a force? Because it feels like more guys are physically ready to go up to that level.
Yeah, look, I think – I'll answer your question. No, I don't think they should because I don't think it's necessary. Like, I think players are – I mean, you look at the guys that are third, fourth, fifth-year guys, even sixth-year with this COVID year. I mean – well, not 6 years now because they can't come back. But a player with any kind of eligibility left is going to get an evaluation on the draft. And if they're not a first or second rounder, they're going to come back to school, right? I mean, so why would a freshman go to college, play college ball, go to the league, and they say, well, all right, you're a first rounder. Okay, I'm coming out. Then the rule doesn't matter, right? They go get evaluated. Hey, you're a fourth rounder at best. Okay, you go back to school. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's really not a – I understand there will be players that will come out a year early because they're disgruntled or whatever.
I'd be good with that, too. An evaluation where you go in, evaluation, you get feedback. Like, the NBA does that. All right,
that's my point, Show, though. The rule applies to such a small percentage of college football. How many – because it applies to guys that have fewer than 3 years out of high school – and are good enough to be first and second round draft picks. That's all we're talking about. I mean, a sophomore in college that is slated to be a third or fourth round draft pick with 2-3 years of eligibility left would be an idiot to come out. Right now, I understand there's extenuating circumstances. There may be some family issues and fourth round money may be it. But if you're a sophomore, 2 years removed, a true sophomore, 2 years removed from high school, and you're slated to be a fourth round pick, stay another year, you'll be a second round pick. Maybe even first round pick. So the rule applies to such a small, like in my opinion,
or you get hurt or take years off. You're like, listen, I think the rule has protected people from making careless decisions some, but I think it's also taken away earning potential and for some of these guys.
Agreed.
And I just think they should have the choice. Now within the choice, you're gonna have some people probably make some bad decisions. It's gonna happen. It happens in the NBA. We're seeing growing more and more. Like Trevor, after he played that 1 year, was going to be the number one pick whenever he came out.
Agreed.
And like Caleb right now would be the number one pick whenever he came out. Like, and it's not just a – it's not – not. When did you graduate? 2099?
2000 calendar year.
There's a lot more kids, I think, now who physically can go up.
Yeah, I would be interested to hear from somebody that's a little more well-versed in why that rule exists. I think that rule exists partially because there was a day in college football where I think everybody pretty much agreed that getting a degree was one reason why you're there kind of deal. And I think the landscape of college sports has changed. I remember back in the day, what was the linebacker's name from Ohio State when he came out? And I think it was a Sports Illustrated article, and he said, look, Ohio State ain't nothing but a stepping stone for me. I'm going to the league. I ain't worried about no damn school, right? And everybody thought, oh man, this is a correct. That's the reality. That's definitely all your first and second round guys are thinking that way. Unfortunately, some of your lesser talented guys are thinking that way too. But yeah, I'd be interested in hearing someone a little bit more dialed into that 3 year and why it's there and what purpose it serves. I'd be really interested to hear, because the more we talk about it, it's like it applies to a very small fraction of players.
I know college football loves it because they have their Heisman Trophy coming back, winner coming back.
Sure.
That isn't normal in the other sports.
Yeah.
What you got coming up?
Well, Show, there's very rarely do I like to take this my football at 4. Very rarely do I like to take it away from football. You know what I mean? But I'm going to do it. I think there's a couple of – that's not all the way away from football. Oh, 8-Tote Prime is in the middle of it. Patino and Prime. I love what they're doing as coaches and the way they're entering their next location, if you will, as head coaches. I'll have a little bit of audio for you, and I'll explain. It's absolutely beautiful.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.